Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
It's the first Sunday of Christmas tide, I guess it would be. And so it's the seventh day of Christmas. Does that sound right? Yesterday I did the good, Darcy's on it, yes. I did a wedding yesterday. It was the sixth day of Christmas. Yesterday I brought it up, and you know, with sixth day of Christmas, what do you get? Six geese a-laying, good. So today being the seventh, seven swans a-swimming. So, you know, if you didn't get that this morning, give an elbow to your beloved one and ask, you know, what's going on. Yeah, it's Christmas tide, so it's the 12 days of Christmas. And with that, our readings turn to readings focused towards Epiphany. And that's Epiphany is the revelation of who Jesus is. And so this morning we're going to hear a little bit about that from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start reading verse 22 and read through verse 40. When the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what's stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, you now dismiss your servant in peace according to your word. For these eyes of mine have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and it will be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there, with fasting and prayer night and day. And at that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty and everlasting God, Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today I just want to share a few thoughts on this scripture reading and get you thinking. And as we're heading into the new year, to kind of, you know, the new year, the new calendar year is a time to kind of, I don't know, we usually take it to take a little bit of inventory and think about things. And looking at the story today, I hope to kind of give you a few thoughts to guide your thinking with that. And it's centered around Epiphany, as I said. And so we're in this time, Epiphany is January 6th, and it's, again, the revealing of, it's a revelation of who Christ is. It's that Christ is God and that sort of stuff. So as I was looking at this week, there were some things that challenged me. And as we hear about these two people, Simeon and Anna, and it's people that I don't know how much you've heard about before or read about before, although you may be familiar with the stories, I realized as I kind of saw what they did, just how they looked and they saw that Jesus was God's salvation plan for his people. And as these two people saw him, they saw the baby Jesus, and it's normal to see a baby and you think of the future and the potential and all of that stuff, but they didn't see Jesus and think, oh, God is going to do something awesome. They saw Jesus and said, God has done something in Christ. Like, it was right now. Simeon, who had been, you know, been in prayer and stuff, God had said, you know, you'll get to see the Messiah before you die. He sees the Messiah and he sees the baby Jesus, And he doesn't say, oh, it's coming soon. He as soon as he sees the Christ child, he says, now you can dismiss your servant in peace. That's the way the prayer goes. And it's the challenging thing for that is these two people saw him, and other people didn't seem to catch that or didn't see Jesus that way. And not only that, but not only did they see Jesus for who he was, they saw him as God's act right then. It wasn't, again, something in the potential, something for the future. It was something right now that God had done something. In Jesus Christ, they saw the fulfillment of God's salvation plan. For example, with Simeon and his prayer. And by the way, this is this little prayer in there, Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, is a prayer, especially during Lent when I go through fasting. There's a set of prayers I do at night, and that's the last prayer at night. And so I've got these like nice kind of positive feelings about whenever I read Simeon's story, because that prayer is a familiar one to me. Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. And with this, those themes that are in that prayer are themes from the second part of Isaiah. And so one of the things that's going on there is as Simeon is praying this, he's pulling in these threads and themes from the Old Testament. So you have this whole, like, this big foundation of God's promises and God's works that are being pulled up into this prayer and this declaration of who Jesus is. And so part of, I guess, what that should tell you is he sees the Christ child. And in the Christ child, he doesn't just see a baby. He sees the culmination of this big story of centuries of God working with and through his people. And he sees the Christ child. He says, now you can dismiss your servant in peace because here it is. This is the culmination of your plan. And just with these two people seeing Christ and doing that, it just got me thinking, as they see Jesus and they respond this way, how often do I miss parts of who Jesus really is? Because again, you've got all these people in the temple, and it wasn't like there's a whole line of people that were coming up to the Christ child and saying, oh, this is what's going on here. No, it was Simeon and Anna. Like, they were the two. And so then I think, well, where have I missed it? Where have I not seen all of who Jesus is? And with that challenge then, I had this kind of challenge as I was wrestling through it, as I thought, you know, is Jesus just an accessory to Andy's life? Or is Jesus Lord of Lords, the light of revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of the people Israel, the Word of God made flesh who came to inaugurate God's kingdom, and then Andy gets to be a part of that kingdom? Does that make sense? Is Jesus an accessory to my life, or is this wonderful big story of salvation, and I get to enter into that story? So thinking about this, with these two witnesses, we'll just start looking at the two witnesses, Simeon and Anna. It's interesting to note that in Jewish law, you needed two witnesses for a testimony to be true. Although, in fairness, the two witnesses, like, they'd have to both be male, so having one female would kind of throw that off. But then you have the two witnesses, and it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that it's a male and a female that are witnessing to just this work of God and sending the Messiah. It's almost like, I thought about it, it almost kind of was echoes of Adam and Eve and this kind of restoration of that, or all of humanity is recognizing who Jesus is. This kind of interesting thing to have it male and female. But you have this male and female, Simeon and Anna, that are witnesses to it. And one of the important things going on here is, as they're described in such a way that you're supposed to understand that these are really reliable and credible witnesses. For example, with Simeon's described this way. He's described as righteous and devout, and he's looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Like, this is his heart's desire. He's looking forward to the consolation of Israel, meaning the restoration or God's redemption for Israel. And it says the Holy Spirit rested upon him. And then again, it has, as we talked about a little bit, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. And then it says he came guided by the Spirit. Like, the Spirit was on him so much that the Spirit guided him to the temple to see Jesus, because that was the Spirit's promise to him, that he would see the Messiah before he died. He comes guided by the Spirit and sees Jesus. Anna, who's she's called a prophet. I mean, just straight up, Anna is a prophet, speaking words from the Lord. She's also of great age, which was a respected thing. Like, this was something to say that, you know, this is somebody who's wise. This is someone who understands things. So she's of great age. She never left the temple. She worshipped, fasted, prayed. She was a very devout, very pious person. And again, when she sees Jesus, she goes to tell people about the redemption of Israel. So her heart's desire is this redemption story. So here you have these two people, Simeon and Anna, and the picture you get are two very faithful witnesses, two very faithful and pious people. Like, if anybody's tuned in to the Spirit, it's going to be these two. These two kind of are understanding what's going on. They're guided and led by the Spirit, and God has them in the right place at the right time to see the Christ child. And it's, again, it kind of sticks out to me. It's worth noting that you have all of Jerusalem, so they walk into Jerusalem, lots of people. In the temple, lots of people, of all the people. But it was these two pious people who see the Christ child and respond directly to the Christ child. It's an interesting thing. These two that are plugged in, so plugged into God, they're the ones that see the Christ child and immediately recognize him for who he is. A lot of other people saw the Christ child that day. They were the ones who responded immediately. What's their response? What's their testimony? Simeon, again, says, you know, he was promised to see the Lord's Messiah before he died, and then he saw Jesus as this Messiah. And what an awesome way to start a prayer. He's been promised to see the Lord's Messiah. He sees the Christ child, and he says, Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Just what a cool thing. Like, he has this promise that's been given to him. He sees the Christ child, and he says, this is God's promise fulfilled. Lord, you can let me go now. You can let me die. This is a really pretty cool thing there. He sees Jesus as God's salvation, prepared in the presence of all peoples. That's an interesting thing. God's salvation in the presence of all peoples, not just Jewish people. And then he goes on that Jesus is a light of redemption to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. So again, you get this inclusion of the Gentiles, of all the peoples, not just for the Jewish people, but for all peoples. And then as he talks to Mary, he says that Jesus was destined for the rising and falling of many and a sign that will be opposed. You have in there just this hint that that there is this tension there, that some people recognize Jesus for who he is and other people oppose him. With Anna, she, as soon as she sees Jesus, she goes and starts to spread the good news and talk to people about the redemption of Israel. Again, Anna is waiting for God's redemption story that's going on. So their testimony is that Jesus is God's redemption. It's interesting then to note, and this was something I kept thinking about. They didn't see Jesus as the potential redemption or the future salvation. They saw Jesus and they're like, yep, God's working right now. This is God's kingdom is coming. This is God's redemption story right now. He was then and there the definitive work of God. Simeon saw him and said, you can now dismiss me in peace. Another interesting note is Jesus is about redemption and restoration of Israel, but also for the rest of the world. And so this act of redemption and restoration, but not just for the Jewish people. And especially in Simeon's words, you get this understanding that Jesus is for all people. And it's important to note that for these two witnesses, the Christ child is seen as the eschatological work of God. Eschatological is a fancy word that means having to do with the end times. And what that means is they see, like I said, with Simeon's prayer coming from the second part of Isaiah, you get this culmination of God's work and God's plan all coming together in Christ. Like, this is what everything was leading towards. This is the pinnacle of God's revelation. The pinnacle of God's creation is in Christ. And so they see God's promised work being fulfilled in Christ. So again, you have this tension, and this one that's been bugging me and I've been wrestling with. Life is going on in Jerusalem. They visit the temple, but it's not like a whole crowd came to meet them. It was just these two who were plugged in. They weren't the only two, by the way, who would visit Jesus in the first part of Luke. The shepherds came to the manger, right? The shepherds came and worshiped Christ. But why did the shepherds come? An angel told them to, right? Angels are spokespeople for God. So the angels were messengers from God, told the shepherds to go worship them. So the people who recognized Christ were people who were directed by angels, or Simeon and Anna, who had this relationship with God and connected with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, you've got a bunch of people not reacting to the Christ child, and then some people who did, and it was revealed to them, or they were connected to God and expected, and they recognized Christ for who he was. And so there's this tension, because some recognize Jesus, and many do not. And then eventually, as you keep reading through Luke, you find out people actually oppose Jesus. Some recognize Jesus, and many do not. Now, I'm convinced that when we read that sort of stuff in Scripture, it ought to be a challenge to us. Like, we probably shouldn't begin with the assumption of, oh, I for sure would have been one of the two people to recognize him, right? We shouldn't start with that. Instead, we should start, well, I wonder why they missed it, and I wonder if I'm missing something too. Which is why I come back to that challenge I said, you know, is Jesus just an accessory to my life, or do I see Jesus for who he is, like God's redemption and salvation plan? None of you probably struggle with this, right? But sometimes I'll compartmentalize like my spiritual life and then have the Jesus-y part of my spiritual life and then the Andy part. No one else probably struggles with that though, right? Thank you for allowing me to confess to you. And Jesus isn't supposed to be this compartmentalized accessory to our life. He's not the thing that's just, I don't know, to plug in that spiritual area. But instead, if Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan and of all things, then he should be Lord of all of our life, the entirety of our lives. Do you worship Christ? Like, do you give all of yourself to Jesus because he's the pinnacle of God's work and plan for salvation? Or is Jesus just an accessory? So there's that challenge, but I think there's a challenge and there's a comfort here. The first is the challenge of, so why did these folks miss him, and am I missing? Here's another thing that people do. Probably none of you have done this, but we shape Jesus into what we want him to be. Jesus likes the same people Andy likes and doesn't like the same people Andy doesn't like, right? So we shape Christ in our image. And I think this pushes us with, you know, Simeon and Anna, the reason they recognized Christ is because they were so pious and devoted to God that they were plugged in. And then they see in Christ the redemption story that God is doing, and they see this bigger thing. And I think the push is, how do we connect into that instead of having Jesus kind of this little thing we mold and shape into our own thing? There's a comfort there too, though. And the comfort's this. Simeon and Anna wanted to see God's redemption. They wanted to see God's restoration. And, you know, people who have seen a tragedy or heartache or things like that, they have this desire for things to be made right. And Simeon and Anna had this desire for God to make things right, for God to redeem and restore. I did a memorial service this past week for someone that passed away on Christmas Eve. Hard stuff, but right around Christmas, and that stuff happens, and you think, you know, where is God in this, or how does God make this stuff right? And I've said to you a few times, like I'm convinced that people who are wrestling with those questions around Christmas time are the most able to really hear the message of Christmas, which is Jesus enters into that heartache and that pain, but Jesus enters into it for redemption and restoration. So if you think of Simeon and Anna, like Anna sees the Christ child and she goes and says, hey, the redemption of Israel's coming. She's excited. That's the comfort. Or Simeon had, you know, longed to see the Messiah, had been promised to see the Messiah. He sees Christ and he is satisfied. So he says, Lord, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. I just love that prayer. Like Jesus, think how totally Jesus satisfied Simeon, where he's like, all right, I've done. Like, it's a good life now. God has given me what he promised. I got to see the Messiah. So there's a challenge and a comfort. To kind of wrap us up here with this challenge and this comfort, again, it's New Year's Eve, so it's a time that we naturally look and reflect and think about things. John Wesley had this, he'd do this watch night service on New Year, because he believed it was important for Christians to regularly examine and recommit themselves to the Lord. And so what I wanted to do to close out our the message this morning and close out our time as we've been hopefully thinking about this stuff is to take a little bit of that watch night service and commit ourselves to Christ as we remember these two witnesses who saw Jesus for who he was. And the way we'll do it is this. This part I'll say, and this is the first part of it, commit yourselves to Christ, and I'll read through that. And then we will pray this part together, the second part, okay? And so we'll go through that. Wesley's words are, they're challenging, and they're good and challenging, I think, in an appropriate way. And so as we go through this, I guess I just encourage you to think about that you had this whole temple full of people, but it was the two, Simeon and Anna, that recognized Christ for who he is. Is there a part of you that needs to remember and recommit yourself to Christ for who he is? Commit yourselves to Christ as his servants. Give yourselves to him that you may belong to him. Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It is necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Let me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal.